I love worship. Thank you for leading. Thank you. Thank you to all those who play. Just, I love to love on the Lord. It's just so cool, you know? And we should never take that time for granted. The opportunity to express how worthy he is and how much we adore him. It's everything. Amen. So where are we? Where do we want to be? I don't know. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit. I guess it's his show anyways, right? So, Lord, we're just coming to you. We're so thankful for who you are. And, Lord, it's your turn to step forward and show off something. And so we ask that you do that. That, Lord, you bring glory to your Son. And that, Lord, everything we discuss just realigns our thinking and our faith. And God encourages us and sends us in the direction that you would have for us, Father. And I'm just so thankful that you're a God who loves us and wants to always just dig a little deeper and take us in a little further than we ever thought. And so here we are with our arms open, God, and our heart open, and we say whatever you want to say, whatever you want to do, however you want to rearrange our furniture, it's your house, so come on in and make yourself at home, and we'll have a meal with you. You're our friend. So Lord, we just invite you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we're really close to the end of Esther. We probably only have like 20 weeks left. Casey did an awesome job last week, and I didn't plan getting sick around that week. I was looking forward to being live, and then just wasn't able to make it. But so Casey wasn't just pinch hitting; he was a planned, strategic delivery. Hey Sue, long time no see. And so that was really cool. Thank you for doing that. Thumbs up. I can move on. Where are we? So remember, Haman had a plan. On March 7, he was going to attack the Jews in the Babylonian Empire, right? And Assyrians. And he declared his date because he followed this demonic ritual where he rolled some dice and did his little prayers and sacrifices and came up with the perfect day, you know, established by demons. And his plan was to wipe out a race of people, right? So Esther goes through her such a time as this story arc, right? Mordecai goes through his story arc. And here we find ourselves with a law that was passed with Jews, you're allowed to fight back, where it was illegal to fight back. You were just expected to stand there and take it. Now, as of this part of our story arc, right, she has now enabled them the permission to fight back. And what's really cool, take the property of the ones who attacked them, okay? That's significant because we're going to actually look at that in a few minutes here. Remember, we talked about how the people worshiped, they celebrated, they had barbecues, they invited their friends over at the news that they were allowed to fight back, not the actual fight, right? They still had months to consider and prepare and get ready, and yet they were celebrating at the idea that they got to fight back. And we talked about how God has put it within the heart of every human person, that's redundant. Through every human, right? To stand and to fight against things that aren't right. It's our desire. Just that opportunity alone, the right to fight was enough to stir up worship and praise and excitement and let's celebrate at a festival and, right? And how much intimidation the enemy must have felt as they saw people partying at the idea that they were going to fight them soon. Right? I mean, just think about what the enemy is thinking when he sees us worshiping and loving on God and celebrating and coming together and hugging. And it's like the world's not perfect yet. And we're like still able to do that in all the imperfection. And they might be like, dang it. Right? I really wanted to break them down. What the heck? Right? And then comes the fight. And that's where we are today. So on Esther 9, verse 1. So on March 7th, the two decrees of the king were put into effect. Which two? The one where the Jews are supposed to die and the one where the Jews were allowed to fight back. Those two decrees are now put into effect. It's March 7th. By the way, today is March 7th for somebody. What date is it for you? It's March 7th for somebody. That's just prophetic, okay? Is it the day for people to fight and actually take some stuff back? All right, so we got four words in. So on March 7th, two decrees of the king were put into effect. On that day, the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them, but quite the opposite happened. Can you say, but quite the opposite happened? Isn't that awesome? This story is just so cool to me. I almost feel like Bilbo Baggins is narrating, but quite the opposite happened, right? Dear Bilbo, or Frodo, whatever. It was the Jews who overpowered their enemies. The Jews gathered in their cities throughout all the king's provinces to attack anyone who tried to harm them. But no one could make a stand against them, for everyone was afraid of them. Can you understand what just happened in that moment? No one can make a stand against them. Do you know what that means? When you make a stand, that's now defensive, right? You prepare an assault, and then you have someone has to make a stand. So the attackers are now making a stand and not able to hold back the attack of the offense that was coming at them, which was the defense. Does this make sense? And again, we're going to talk about this from a human perspective, but I get, we're not talking about fighting physical wars. I feel like I have to say that every week, because I feel like if I don't, I'll find just a clip of my words on YouTube and I'll be like, you know, yeah, go fight. Let's get violent, right? And all the God's conservative people said, amen. Woo! Right? And I don't want my words to be like remushed around. So we're not fighting flesh and blood people here, right? We're fighting against angels, principalities, rulers of this darkness, right? We're the enemy. Yes? And so the Jews gathered in their cities throughout all the king's provinces to attack anyone who tried to harm them. But no one can make a stand against them, for everyone was afraid of them. This is cool. Everyone was afraid of the exiles, the slaves, if you will. Right? Why is that significant? To me, it just blows my mind. Because not too many years ago, the very people who are winning had their city surrounded, their fortified city surrounded by these people, and they forcibly removed them from their fortified city and dragged them back to Babylonia, where they would serve as slaves. These are not the people you would fear if you were one of these enemies, right? These are the people you're like, we beat you once, we'll beat you again. But at this point, they're afraid, unable to make a stand, right? And all the nobles of the provinces, the highest officers, the governors, the royal officials helped the Jews for fear of Mordecai. So who's the slave to fear now? Right? Next slide, please. Mordecai had been promoted in the king's palace, and his fame spread throughout all the provinces. He had become more and more powerful. So the Jews went ahead on the appointed day and struck down their enemies with the sword. They killed and annihilated their enemies. I don't know if there's a difference there. And they did as they pleased with those who hated them. In the fortress of Susa itself, the Jews killed 500 men. That's where Daniel was. They also killed, and I'll just for brevity jump to verse 10, the 10 sons of Haman, the enemy of the Jews. Why would you kill his 10 sons? That's horrible. Well, because typically in the old days, sons grew up to take revenge on their dads. And if they're highly influential political figures and there's 10 of them, that's like 10 big problems later on. So they were doing their own children a favor. Can I say it that way? It's so brutal. But they were doing their kids a favor by taking out future threats. You know? All right. We'll move on. That's right. That's right, because that would make it so much better. That's right. I'm all out of Kleenex. You done worshipped us out of Kleenex. Thank you. Thanks, Joe. Man, after a week of being sick like this, I feel like I... Thanks for the visual. We can't get distracted from the last seven words. This is important. They did not take any plunder. It was legal. It was their right. It was written into the law by Esther that they were allowed to take plunder, and they didn't take plunder. Now, I think this is cool. This is very miraculous, and this is significant because, and once I get all the history out of the way, we're going to start getting into the real meat of why this is important. But they didn't want, so they had to live with these people the next day, right? And the next day, after everybody had regathered their thoughts and, you know, kind of all the calmness had hit, and call it 2 weeks from now, right? But eventually society would kind of come back together and they would begin to build this accusation. You know, those Jewish people, they were killing us because they just wanted to rob us. Now they have all our stuff. You get it? And the purity of what they were trying to accomplish, which was to protect themselves, protect their loved ones, would have been washed away and watered down by an accusation that they were just collecting stuff, plunder, taking it, right? And so while it was their right to take, they didn't, because they wanted to keep the integrity of what they were doing so pure and blameless, right? That they just let the stuff be. I think that's awesome, right? I'm not going to try to make a point here other than to just say that the love of stuff did not rule and water out down the integrity of what they were trying to accomplish. They were leading with honor, and they stayed with honor the entire time. The fruit proved their intentions. And that's where I want to take this. The fruit of what they did showed their intention. There was no accusation that could actually be made against them, because all they did was defend themselves, right? They didn't actually take stuff from people. Okay? Why do you care, Daryl? I care because I think at times Christians deserve the reputation they have, but at other times they get accused and bundled up with things where they're just known to be, let's say, judgmental or right, or stupid or right. There's all these different things that we get clumped in with, and I feel like the church, if we want to change the reputation, we have to bear a different kind of fruit, right? And so sometimes, even though it's your right to win an argument, it may not be the best decision in the moment to do so, right? And I'm not picking any one particular issue. I'm just getting at this heart of sometimes you can win and do what's legally and lawfully yours to do, and yet really harm the larger cause, okay? And I don't want to insist on my way here. I just want you to hold your stuff before the Lord and say, God, am I doing that? Have I made myself so right that I've won the battle and I've lost the war here? Right? And the quickest example I can think of where this comes to mind is marriage. You can win and you can lose at the same time, right? So it's, what do you, huh?
We always win.
You always win? We got a phrase in my house that's, I always get the last word. It's yes, ma'am. So I see this miraculous story here, right? And it would be really easy to bash to fit and try to take some elements and make it work for us and say this is us and blah, blah. But I don't feel like that's what I'm supposed to do. I feel like what I am seeing is a consistent attribute of God just coming through, bleeding through the story. And so what I want to do from this moment on is to begin to call out and recognize the consistent nature of God that we see here and apply that nature into our story right now. Okay? Are you with me? Did I lose you? Okay, you're cool? Yeah, just give me a hand when you're all done. I'll be done too. Okay, good. No, that's funny. I'm asking today. I've got that head cold feeling, which includes sort of a spacey, disconnected feeling. And so I feel like I'm kind of floating on something. And, you know, if you're like done, I'm done too. Isaiah 58. Let's start here. How about we read it? The Lord will guide you continually, giving you water when you are dry and restoring your strength. You will be a well-watered garden like an ever-flowing spring. Some of you will rebuild the deserted ruins of your cities, and then you will be known as a rebuilder of walls and the restorer of homes. Amen. 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 There's a lot going on in this statement, but I'd like to just kind of pick it apart because it speaks back to this nature of God, and that is the first piece. The Lord will guide you, and he will water you when you are dry. And I felt like I heard a sense that the Lord wanted me to tell you to load your canteen now, okay? That doesn't mean brace yourself, it's about to get real hard. It's, I love you, and I don't want you to be dry. So some of you need to load your canteen with some principles of God's heart and his nature now, so that when you don't want to believe it on Monday, you've already kind of got it and you can take a swig. Amen? And the first one I want to do is just go through the list that we went through backwards and look at reputation. We talked about integrity and they didn't steal plunder. Well, what I see here is the Lord is guiding and watering people, and he's causing his ever-flowing spring. That's the Holy Spirit, right? Some people are rebuilding broken cities, and some are rebuilding broken walls, protection. Some are restoring homes, right? They're putting things back together. But the most coolest thing I find in all of this scripture is that you will be known as. The Lord's actually going to call out people by not only by act, but now establish new reputation in their life as being a people qualified and capable and having a history of rebuilding and restoring and putting things back together. Right? Actually changing the reputation of what the world thinks when they say church or God's people or Jesus. Amen? So we need to fill our canteen because there's a lot at stake if we're dry when the rest of the world is dry. If our strength is low and we're not restoring that strength through the power of the Holy Spirit, and if we're not getting alone with him and he's not filling us and we have nothing to pour out, we will not be known as those who put together broken cities, right? We'll be known as they're just as bad as us. Their homes are just as broken as us. Their cities are deserted like ours, right? We have to stand out as peculiar before the reputation is known, right? And then raise your hand if you love looking peculiar. Nobody. Okay, some of us. It's like, what? No, what number is that on the Enneagram? 7? 7s like to be peculiar. The rest of us are like, no. That's awesome. It's all coming through God's favor in our life, okay? Let's look at Ephesians. I'm going to jump forward. Psalms 30, verse 5. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. And the church is really known for preaching the anger, right? We're not often known for preaching favor. And when we do, it tends to be intrinsically aimed, like favor is so that I can go buy a jet, right? Or whatever, like, right? Favor is always a very selfish, tacky presentation, at least in my encounters in a lot of church, right? And so what the church has done is it's begun to vomit that up and say, let's not talk about favor for a while. Let's call it grace, unmerited favor. I can accept that. And now let's talk about the anger of God and the judgment of God, and right? And there we've camped in a very dry wilderness, church at large, having forgotten about the favor of God and how, I want to talk about this next, the favor of God is what bleeds over through our life and begins to bless the world. And so when we reject the favor or we make it all about ourselves and we focus on the anger and the judgment of God, we have nothing truly to offer. We can only warn. Hey, watch out, buddy. Well, what should I do? I don't know. You're on your own. Right? Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes in the morning. And the Lord is saying, hey, some of us have stayed in the night way, way, way longer than we should have. He's like, I intended joy in the morning, and we aren't entering into the joy. We've only stayed in the weeping, right? You cool with this? Okay. You're like, what are you trying to talk about? I'm like, I don't know. I'm kind of getting a cold here, so I'm not responsible. Psalms 84:11. For the Lord God is our sun, which is our light and our shield. He gives us grace and glory. You guys know that verse? You familiar with it? It's a song for some of you who have been saved for longer than 30 years. Did you realize that the grace and the glory in the actual Hebrew words is favor and honor? I don't think King James liked it either. You know, just swimming in the favor of God, so he changed it to grace. The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right. Why? Why would he not withhold anything from those who are doing what is right? Because they're doing what's right. That means they're actually reaching outward and blessing those around them. So of course he's going to pour in because they're asking for more because they're pouring out, right? And I want you to look at yourself and shake yourself, okay? And ask this question, am I pouring out or am I only asking God to pour in? And maybe I've got something broken. Like if your spout has been broken off and you're not actually pouring out, maybe there's a reason why he put a pause on it so he doesn't drown you in his favor and lose you in selfishness. You know what I mean? He doesn't want to lose your heart in the good things that he gives. Now, some of you are like, oh, no, my life is so much harder. That's not my problem. All right, good. Your turn's coming. Your turn's coming. But he is our sun and shield. That is our light and our protector. And he gives us favor and honor. That's who he is. He's a honoring and favoring God. You're like, I can't even imagine what that's like. Yeah, well, can I just explain it to you? So you've got a bunch of these kids just running around wherever you are, and then you've got your own kids, and you've got like two pieces of candy, but all these kids around here, and you've got to figure out who you're going to give the candy to. Who are you going to give the candy to? Your own kids, right? Why? They're yours, and you favor them over all kids. Those are yours, right? And that's what we can imagine this is to be like, you know. And I'm sorry, Jessica, you've got like seven, so you need a lot of candy. But what's that? This cuss? No, I know. But the point is, like, the Lord favors his kids, and he wants all of us to be his kids, right? But he favors us, and he's using that favor to be poured out on others. I want to show you, for the one who's saying, well, that's not my life right now, I need to pull out the Ephesians 1:11 card, and we'll put that in, you know, that little jar where we were talking about the permissive will of God. And right. All right, so this one goes in here. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, an inheritance from him, right? That means resources are available to us, for he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. He gave us resources and a plan, and he's got a job for us. And he's making everything, even your tough times, work out for good. Matter of fact, I find that we become the greatest ministers in the places where we really had to struggle through something. Because we have compassion. Where the rest of the world, if they don't understand that struggle, they're just like, I don't know what's wrong with you. Just pray and give it to God and be done. Huh?
He gives us hope.
Hope and compassion put together usually drive us toward the next thing that God has for us, right? Because hope without compassion is just aggravating. Yeah. And then compassion with no hope is just bleeding hearts. Okay, I got more time, right? Okay. Do it up. Is that what you said? Do it up. Okay, so your fruit is going to prove your intentions regardless of whatever the accusations the enemy is throwing at you. So make sure that whatever you do, check against it and make sure that it is honorable and right. Because as we saw in the previous scripture in Psalms, he gives us favor and honor. Keep your honor. Don't muddy it with selfish, you know, twisting something to your own advantage, even though you might be within your right to do so. If it screws with the honor of your reputation, don't do it. Right? Matthew 12:33, Jesus said that a tree is identified by its fruit, and if a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. All I'm saying is there comes a time as believers when we call this process maturity, where we, the core of our tree, is crying out, God, give me fruit, and our fruit is saying, God, bless the core of my life so that I can produce more fruit for you, right? And you're just in this internal, cyclical kind of surrendering and perpetual seeking mode. That's important. That's maturity. And when you turn off that perpetual seeking and surrendering mode, you realize that you're kind of dying on the inside. Stagnating? Is that a better word? Don't lose that. Protect that. That's like the tree planted by the river, right? That's where he produces his fruit in every season. Yes? So really focus your tree. And if there's probably a day coming, so just say, God, I give you permission to send people to talk to me about my stuff. And, let your humility out right now in advance so that there's no friction later. But there's probably coming a time, I know there's coming a time, where we're going to speak into each other's life and begin to say what we see of each other's fruit. And it might be challenging, but it'll be good. It'll be healthy and it'll be right. It'll be done in love, right? And desire to see each other go further than ever before. But if we shut down right now and like, I'm not letting you speak into my life, you're more of an idiot than I am, right? We just shut down the blessing God has, right? The iron sharpening iron effect. Everybody's nodding. I should get out my phone and video you. You're nodding. So that when we have to clean up all your messes later, I can say, you nodded to this, so don't act all... Do it. It's not comfortable to get called out on something, by the way, but it's okay. And if we call each other out on stuff, we don't have to leave the other guy feeling small. I got called out not too long ago, and we kind of laughed about it, but I realized I clearly understand there's a line I'm not supposed to cross. What's that? Hand up, not slap down. Yeah, I like it. James 2:17, you want to go into all James? James is rough. You see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it's dead and useless. So that can be a little challenging, especially if you know a lot of your Bible and you've heard a lot of sermons and then someone comes by and tries to trump you with a but it's not good enough card. It can make you rise up and be like, oh yeah? Yeah, I did all that work. I did a study. I read 10 books before you were even born, boy. Right? And if there's no fruit coming out, then don't get defensive and angry. It's just like, you're right. I backed off a little bit. I need to get back into the game where I'm crying out for more fruit. Right? Amen. I'll go backwards one, Titus 3. Our people must learn to do good by meeting the urgent needs of others. Then they will not be unproductive. Could I rephrase that? Our people are being unproductive because they're not learning to do good and meeting the urgent needs of others. Our people. What people? The people in our church. Titus. Do you hear me? Church going, good godly people. How you doing? Doing all just fine, hallelujah, brother, people. Right? Are being unproductive. Why? Because we're not meeting the needs of others. We're not learning to do good, right? So I hope you hear this message of just going back to this basic, Lord, am I producing the fruit that you find beautiful? And again, I don't want you to open up your notebook and these are the three things I'm going to do to produce more fruit in my life. If you do that, I'm going to puke and I'm going to be upset. Because it's not about us developing a list of more to-dos and to-don'ts, right? It's about the surrender and the seeking and holding it really loosely before him. You know, it's like you're holding out your M&Ms and he's like, I want this one. And you're like, don't take that. I'll take that one. Okay. But I'm going to put these three in, right? And you're like, you just messed with my pile. Right? Because that's not the way I would have done that. And he's like, well, that's why I'm God. Right? Amen. A tree is identified, and what are we showing? What are we showing the world, right? What are we showing? I imagine in our story, and I don't think I'm going to go a whole heck of a lot further in this, but I imagine in our story when the people were defending and it was their right to take and they didn't do it, that it just spoke such a volume of truth to those people who were attackers And they knew they had stuff to lose, and they chose to do the attack anyways. And then when they didn't get the retribution they deserved, they were shown mercy. Do you know what I mean? The mercy spoke so loud. And it allowed those people to go back to sort of an ordinary life, if you can imagine it that way. You know, I'm sure Martha's dead now over here, and Sam is dead, and right? And Carl over here, he's alive because he killed him, right? But somehow in all of that, Carl isn't like now that much richer and looking down on that guy over there. There was an expression of mercy that was visible by the act. And because of that, they stood out as a God's peculiar, special people. You get this? They did the peculiar thing and showed mercy even when we're talking about a fight that actually ended in death, you know? I hope this makes sense. I hope this makes sense. Because the days are coming where we're going to be having to meet the needs of others in ways that we've never would have thought. Because, well, 2 out of 4 economists believe we are or are not in recession. All I know is things are dang expensive. And people are going to need help. And we may, I'm not promising this, but we may find ourselves having to meet needs for people in ridiculous ways. We may be shocking and embarrassing in the way we meet needs. We are set up as River of Life, and I hope the internet shuts itself off and doesn't try to take advantage of this fact, but we are so well positioned to help people because of the model of the way we do church. Like, we could be redonkulous in our expression of love. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And as things get more difficult, when the people of God become more free, it just doesn't make sense. And that's what really shows God's heart and his love, and right? So I'm not even proposing anything as much as I'm making an offer to you. Will you consider that a good thing, an honor, to be able to help people in crazy ways where normally you're like, I've never done that. I've never been to a church that would even consider anything like that, right? It's almost offensive. It's too good, right? Hey there. It's okay. No, it's cool. I love it. I actually do. Huh? I know. I was a kid once and walked right behind the guy ministering and he yelled at me. Compassion. I'm sorry, that was gross. I'm going to close with this, Colossians 1. And I think we're going to break it there. I've got like a whole lot of stuff to talk about, but this is it. So do we have the Colossians scripture? It came after the James one, or it's on the James one maybe. Is it there? Yeah, he's right next to Jim. All right. All right. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit, all the while as you grow and learn to know God better and better. Right? The prayer that is actually going on here is, again, I'm praying for you, right? Because ultimately I want you to learn to grow in your knowledge of God better and better. Unfortunately, you're not going to just get there with Bible studies alone. So I'm going to be praying for you that he'll give you wisdom and understanding that's spiritual so that you will live in ways that honor him and produce fruit around you. And then as you do that, you're going to learn God better and better because you're actually exercising the stuff you've learned. You're not just putting information in. It sounds so cool. So if someone says to you, hey, I've been praying for you that the Lord will help you apply all the stuff you're learning, don't be offended. Right? I'm praying that you learn to actually apply that. I've heard husbands and wives say that to each other. And they usually, it doesn't go very well after that. Typically not a date night. No, it's usually the end. But you get this point, like the church is being called into an understanding of growing to know God better and better by meeting him in the place where we are restoring and building cities, if you know what I mean, spiritually, right? Not physically building cities. Restoring broken places where we're meeting, we're like, God, please join me in this, or God, help me join you in that. Give me wisdom. I'm stepping in it. Literally, I am stepping in it. And it's a mess, and it's gross, and here we go, and this is where Jesus is. Welcome to my mud show. That's exactly where I am. Thanks for coming. Glad you showed up, right? And then you and Jesus do this stuff together because you're surrendered and you're not too proud, right? Was that too generic for you, or is that okay? Okay, good. Then I don't need to further explain. So what we're going to do today, I think, and I don't want to pull any special points up or anything for the prayer time, I believe that the next step is A, some of us have been challenged in areas where our integrity may have been compromised a little bit, and we've been kind of, I'm not sure, I don't know if it's good or bad or whatever, I'm not sure God cares, or, you know, there's like a Holy Spirit saying, thump, 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 yes, I am, I want you to change, I want you to let that go. What was good enough for yesterday is not good enough for today. Faith to faith, remember, glory to glory, right? So if that's you, if that's your heart, then that's our prayer today is, God, I'm going to surrender some of these things on the edges that I've been compromising with. Yeah? For some of us, it's, Lord, I've been in the church really long time. And I'm not just talking about River, the church. I've grown up with you a really long time. And I've actually watched my fruit and productivity over time go down, not up. Right? And so what I'm asking you to begin to pray is, Lord, where have I let my fire die? And where do I need to relight and rekindle first love? Where I'm actually, what Jesus said, doing the things you used to do, which were just crazy acts of love, right? Drive 3 hours to go see this girl that you don't even want to go shopping with, right? Okay, all right, that was for somebody. And then for some of us, we're just asking for God to give us spiritual wisdom and understanding so that we can live in ways that honor him and produce fruit of every kind in our life. And if there's any part of you that says, well, not every kind, well, there's a little demon there that's trying to discourage you from producing fruit. So there's a surrender thing here. This is, God, whatever fruit you want to produce, you know, if there's any buts, that's your enemy for the day. Amen. You good with this? What do you got?
Side note, I want to see you.
It's on.
Side note, everybody.
Hello.
Our brother Mike Marias is having surgery tomorrow to remove some cancer and a tumor in his lung. And I just wanted us as a family to pray for him tomorrow.
Yeah, for sure.
So, dear Heavenly Father, we pray for Big Mike. He's a good brother to us in the men's group and everybody else here. He always has a smile. And we just want you to make sure tomorrow everything goes smoothly. All the junk has gotten out of his body. And we ask that the doctors are good with him and the nurses are good with him.
Yep.
And that he's comfortable and that the healing starts tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we love you, brother. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And Lord, we pray for peace over Mike's heart, because I know that it can't be easy at times going into surgery. So, Father, just surround him with a real sense of your presence and your peace over him, and calm him and provide for him, Father. Yeah, I echo what my brother said. We love Big Mike. In Jesus' name. Amen. Does anybody feel an unction to pray over any of those bullet points that I had, you know, sort of barked out there earlier, whether it be compromise or whether it be surrender to the wisdom of God to produce fruit? Were you guys listening to the third point? COVID brand, I can't remember.
The third point was around, atrophy.
Right? Yes. First love response. Thank you. Aislinn's in. Gotta be quick. Gotta be quick if you gotta beat Aislinn. Thanks.
Lord, we ask you to be with us this week, to prepare our hearts and our minds for any divine appointments that you have for us, that we would be on the lookout, Lord, for places that we can pour out the blessing that you pour into us, that we will pour it out onto others.
Yes, God.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah, God, I just confess there's definitely atrophy in my tree. And I just thank you, Father, for the ability to pray and surrender any area, Lord God, where we just are aware of our weakness or our selfishness or ways that we've fallen away from our first love.
Yeah.
Even if it's slight, God, I just thank you that you desire for us to be awakened with passion for you. Lord, strong and thriving, so I bless myself, I bless this church, God, to awaken again to our first love.
Yeah.
To fall in love with you in ways, God, that we don't even know, Lord, to even if we feel like we're good, Lord, to still cry out for the more. I thank you, God, that you say, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So I ask that you just stir us up with a hunger and a thirst for you and for your presence, for your word, for your spirit, God, that we wouldn't be satisfied with, oh, I've had a good day. I got a little revelation. Lord, I just thank you that you have more in store, and I just thank you that you want a passionate bride, and I just say, bless your church, God, with the more, with the hunger for more, God. You say, open your mouths wide, because you want to fill it. So I bless this church, God, and for your body, God, to receive the more that you have, God, and to be healthy, flowing trees planted by the rivers of living water, God, bearing fruit in every season, God, and to have those spouts that maybe were once broken, Lord, to be reaffixed and be able to pour out, God, to just be a healthy, life-giving stream again, Lord, where rivers of living water are flowing in and out of us, God, that we can be a healthy body pouring in and pouring out. So I also just bless the church with the healing that's necessary, that we would surrender and seek you more, God. I love that. Let's continue to seek you and surrender to you, God, and know that you are, you're listening to our prayers and our cries for more, God, and that you're a God who answers. So I just say thank you for that, Father, that we are not left in a hopeless situation, but you're a God who is able to hear and respond and do more than we can do for ourselves, of course. So thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
Fruit is never for that tree.
Right. Yep. Amen.
Ever.
Right. It does not benefit the tree.
Others.
Right. Amen.
That's cool.
Anybody else?
Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the opportunity and the moments there that you speak through the message. For me today, I just get this vision that you've given us the knowledge, you've given us the wisdom, you've given us the teaching, but now we ask for your hands and feet to serve where you call us, serve where you want us to be your light in the world, serve where there's opportunity to bless those and show them the truth and show them the value of having a relationship with you and how to live in your image, God. Let us be your disciples into the world. Give us the ability to use our talents and our gifts for your good, God, to be discerned and to hear from your Holy Spirit where that is. I had this feeling that somebody in the congregation is looking for and needs help with something, but they're afraid to ask. And that boldness to say, that's me, I need this, I need help with this. As a body, we surround them and say, we're here for you to thrive. We're here to support you. So God, I just ask that whoever that is on their heart, just have the boldness to reach out and know that they have the ability to be surrounded in love in your family here, God. Thank you for just the opportunity to hear from you, to respond to you, God. And we just ask that you give us boldness going forward in your name.
This may be a little unorthodox, so please bear with me. I'm Greta. Hi, everyone. My heart's really heavy today. I have a big family. One of my brothers got injured yesterday. He jumped off his boat. He was doing a backflip off of his boat, and he was only in 2 feet of water. I was all like prayer warrior last night when I heard about him. Like, God's got this. He's going to be fine. No, he's going to be fine. And then I got an update that he has several fractures in his spine and 6 broken ribs and a punctured lung. Anyway, so they're going to do an MRI at noon today. He has 8 kids at home. He's self-employed. And his work is all reliant upon him. And earlier this week, his one employee got really badly injured as well. My brother is a believer, and I know that the Lord is going to use this for his good. We've been declaring that. But just this morning, I can't stop weeping. I know that God is able, but I would really, I felt like when he said, there's someone in here that like wants to ask for help, but you guys don't know me as well. We're new here in the last month. But we're intimately aware with the body of Christ. We love our church body. You guys are family. Even if we don't know you well, I would appreciate your prayers. My brother's name is Todd. I know that God is with him, but he's currently up in Dartmouth in the ICU. His wife is with him, and 8 kids are at home right now with the babysitter for the last 48 hours. And we're going to be trying to take cycles of helping watch the kids and, you know, do all the real stuff that is required when both parents are in the hospital. So I'm overwhelmed trying to figure it out, and I'm like, hold on, God, whew, you got this. So all that to say, I guess my heart is heavy, and I felt like I needed to just ask for you guys to keep us in prayer as a family as we navigate this and believe God for a miracle in my brother's life, and that God would use it all for his good, because even in the most desperate situation, even if my brother loses everything, I know that God is going to use it for good, because it's not about any of this worldly stuff anyway. But I want to see him deeply transformed by the love of God in this. We want to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We want to see my brother's family completely cared for and know that God's good and that he's completely over this whole situation. Like, we believe God for really big things. But I also know that there's a huge spiritual warfare, like, over my brother, and he's confessed a lot of, like, dark feelings, and the enemy's really tried to have his heyday, and we believe that there's been, like, a spiritual attack on him, and that whatever the enemy wants to use for evil, we know that God will turn it around for good, but he's still in a war, and he's vulnerable, and he could use our prayers, because he's weak, right? So thank you for listening. Thank you for praying, church.
I have no clue why. I don't know why I'm doing this. Maybe this is Abba pushing me along. But I wanted to take this to pray for her. So, Abba, may we pray together. Thank you for everything you've done. Thank you for everything that you've brought to us. Please send her brother a miracle. keep him well, protect the family, and please just help any way you can. I don't really know what else to say, honestly, just to... I'm not all that confident. It's just, I don't know why, but I guess this Holy Spirit taking me and pushing me along.
I could tell.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, God. Right now, Jesus, we come into alignment with heaven right now. We come into agreement with heaven, and we ask, God, that you would move in a way that only you can move for Todd right now, in Jesus' name, Father. God, it isn't hard for you to look down, to look and to touch and extend your hand and extend your reach and to touch his body, to touch his family now, touch his heart, touch his spirit, God. We seal him in your truth, God. We seal him in your love, Father. Satan, you can have no hold over Todd. You can have no hold over his family. You can have no hold over his spirit, his soul, his body. You must flee in Jesus' name. Come, Holy Spirit. God, as he breathes in your truth. As he breathes out fear and doubt and confusion and brokenness and sickness. And as he breathes in your spirit and he breathes in your strength and your joy and your peace and your favor and your honor. God, I pray that he would embrace this surrender in this time, Father, that he would just sit in your lap and let him be restored, Father. Let him say, it was in this time that I felt closer to my Father in heaven than ever before. Would he look back and be able to be more a better provider, a better father, a better brother, a better husband, a better friend, because he can look back and say, it was in the time when I couldn't provide, when I couldn't do it, that you brought people out of the woodwork, God. You are bringing people out of the woodwork for this family, for this time, so that Todd can know his Heavenly Father in a new way. So, Holy Spirit, we just thank you. We just turn Todd over to you now, Father, and we thank you in advance for this work that you're doing, for the victory that is yours, Jesus. And it's in for your honor and your glory, Jesus, and in your name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, God. You'll have to keep us in the loop, please. And I mean that. Did we cover it? We already saw one back healing this morning, which is really cool. So let's believe for two, right? That's awesome. Thank you, God. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. We just leave this place knowing that the church is leaving the building and that you are going to just move forward the kingdom of God, and we are honored to be a part of that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. You may be dismissed. Kieran, awesome. Thanks for being bold. Good job.